This morning, our Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. Now, as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord God, as we are anticipating, celebrating once again the arrival of the Christ child, we pray that we will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us. We pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts and our minds, that we will be enlightened by your word. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord. Well, yes, the world is preparing for Christmas. Our day of Thanksgiving is now over. The Christmas season begins. The happy holiday shoppers are venturing out. People are online. The Christmas music is playing freely amidst the colorful decorations. And our thoughts turn to the joyous meaning of the season. You know, joy to the world. Hark, the herald angels sing, and God rest ye merry gentlemen. Right? That's what we all remember. But I'm afraid, as Christians, we have a lot of work to do to remind those around us of the true meaning of this holy season. Even those of us in the faith communities are conflicted by this time of year. We want to remember and be faithful to the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. But the commercialization, the parties, the buying of gifts, the news events in the world, it all distracts us from the true meaning. We need to take time to reflect on what is in our hearts, and we need to understand Christmas in the long term. What do Christ's birth and life on earth truly mean to us today? This is the first Sunday of Advent. And the word Advent, as you know, comes from the Latin word adventus, which means arrival or the coming. And the birth or the arrival of the baby Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem is only the beginning. Yes, we observe four Sundays of Advent leading up to Christmas, but the meaning of Advent does not end with the birth, because we have yet another arrival of Christ to look forward to, and we must be ready. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are a part of Advent. Jesus' ministry and teaching, as documented in the Gospels, are a part of Advent. The presence of the Holy Spirit here today is a part of Advent. And Jesus promised to us that he will come again is a part of Advent. It is a major part of Advent. It is greater than we sometimes comprehend, because it is the culmination of the sacred journey that began with Mary and Joseph traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. When we view Christmas in the long term, Advent becomes our anticipation of the hope of Christ. You see, Jesus invites us to enter the kingdom of heaven here on earth in anticipation of an eternity in God's kingdom. We don't need to wait to experience the hope of Christ. The way we live our lives and the way we enjoy our sacred relationship with the Messiah is to be a part of God's kingdom on earth, as we await Christ's return. But our gospel reading this morning reminds us, "Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." This broad view of Advent covers the entire realm of our Christian faith, from the humble birth of Jesus to the promised second coming. Let's reflect for a moment on the Gospel of Matthew and what it provides in the way of teaching for us how to live. Matthew was written probably about the year 80 in the first century. It was roughly 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. It is believed that Matthew is writing originally to a Jewish Christian audience, that is, a group of likely urban Jews who were raised in the traditions of the Jewish faith in the Hebrew Bible. They are well versed in the Old Testament prophets and the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. They are now Jewish Christians because they have come to believe that, in fact, the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Hebrew prophecies. But now that they believe that the Messiah arrived on a date certain in Bethlehem, they want to know a date certain when he will arrive again, fulfilling his promise to all believers. Surely, Jesus must have left us a clue of when he was coming back. Matthew cannot answer that question. He can only share with them the words of Jesus himself. And these words of Jesus that we read this morning were spoken to his own disciples on the Mount of Olives, as his disciples were asking the same question: "How will we know when you are coming back?" For all of us, the answer is just as unnerving today as it was then. We don't know, but we need to be ready. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, the author does not leave his audiences hanging about how to be ready. Indeed, much of Matthew is the actual teaching of Jesus, teaching that occurred as a part of his ministry in Galilee. And it tells us how to get ready for Christ's return. It teaches us how to live our lives to experience the joy of the kingdom of heaven. And it teaches us how to pray. This teaching, by the way, begins, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And it asks that God's kingdom will come and that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus' teachings in Matthew also tells us how to treat our neighbors, how to love the Lord our God. And Jesus exhorts us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus assures us that surely he is with us always, even to the end of the age. So friends, all of this is a part of Advent, because it is all about Jesus' arrival, his life, and his work on earth, and it is preparing us to be ready for his return. Less than a month from now, on Christmas Day, we and Christians throughout the world will celebrate the birth of Christ. His birth over 2,000 years ago, the stage for his life and teaching is the story that magnifies humility. Jesus was born in a manger, in a barn, surrounded by barnyard animals. As a kid, I had to do chores in a barn. I know what that's like. This is not the scene that rich and powerful rulers and religious leaders of the time envisioned for the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah. And the first to receive the good news of the Christ child's birth were shepherds, the lowliest of occupations at the time. The angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds to tell them that the Messiah had arrived. Lowly shepherds, they knew before emperors and high priests that Jesus, the Messiah, had arrived. So do you get the picture here? Arriving in humility sets the stage for his life and death, and for what Jesus teaches us even today through his word. And we, as a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, have an opportunity to enter this Advent season with that frame of mind. Jesus gave us the map for how to live our lives. Once again, in Matthew, beginning in chapter 5, many of you remember that Jesus went up on a hillside and he sat down and called his disciples around him, and it says he began to teach. And it was there at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that he began by teaching the Beatitudes. And you remember them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus has taught us how to live in order to be a part of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom does not begin with death. No, the kingdom began with the birth of the Christ child in a manger in Bethlehem, and it is the advent of hope. For all of us, There is nothing more gratifying than sharing that hope with others. So friends, Advent is all about anticipating the hope of Christ. This hope began in Bethlehem, but it has no end for those of us who put our faith in a risen and returning Christ. And it is in that vein, then, that we now turn to this table where we come together to indeed remember Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. Let us join together around the table and let us remember Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, on this beginning day of Advent. To the glory of God. Amen. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. And though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with his grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when the risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that has been prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life so that we live in him and declare, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray this morning that you will pour out your Spirit blessing these, your gifts, the gifts of bread and the cup. We pray, Lord, that you will inspire us by the power of your Spirit, and that we will remember the true meaning of Advent. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, this morning we will be serving communion by distribution. Remain seated in your seats, and the elements will be passed to you. This is the table of the Lord. All who believe are welcome. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know our wounds, our troubles, and our needs, even before we know them ourselves. As the Samaritan showed compassion to the wounded man, you offer mercy to us. We pray for those who are sick or in trouble. Comfort them with your healing and grace, and empower your church to minister to them. We pray for all who suffer the violence of human hands. Such violence is so much on our hearts and minds today, Lord. We cannot understand the evil that exists in the world, but we know it has been true in ancient times as well. Help us to cope with the stress of violence around us, and protect us, we pray, so that we may have opportunities to share your love. We pray for children and for the defenseless. Safeguard them in your protection, Lord. We pray for our leaders. Give them wisdom and courage. And mostly we pray that you will guide them to make right decisions that are for the common good. We pray for all of us, dear Jesus, who want to serve you as disciples. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit. And strengthen our bond of love in this congregation and in our community. God of compassion, hear our prayers, and lead us all to serve with gratitude for the extraordinary privilege of knowing you personally. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to Him.